This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcasting live every day from sunny Southern California. Welcome in. We got so much to get to, man. There's so much. Holy cow, what a weekend in sports. And, of course, we're broadcasting live, as always, from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. We'll help you get there. An unmatched selection of fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, an unmatched selection. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Welcome in. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I'm fired up, man, because there was some obviously Saturday is fun and hijinks and college football. We'll get to some of that. All right. There's the, why even Kansas ranked? Like, dude, just be happy they're actually decent in 4-0 this year. But Arkansas loses in the most Arkansas way ever. Obnoxious Tennessee is back being relevant. But thankfully, we had a day's full of NFL games, day full of NFL games to kind of whet our appetite, if you will. The only problem with the day's worth of NFL games that were competitive, right? There was still, I mean, honestly, the worst game was the Chargers-Jacksonville, and it was the exact opposite of what many people thought would be the outcome of that game. But so many competitive games, but man, some offense sorely lacking. And for all the, I think, rightful criticism of Nathaniel Hackett. Here Nathaniel Hackett is with what outwardly looks like a complete mess in terms of decision making. You got the fans counting the play clock out loud at home. You're like, yikes. Despite all of that, the Denver Broncos are tied for first place with the Kansas City Chiefs, who dump one to the Indianapolis Colts. Here's Russell Wilson. Of course, all the positives in the game.
We're still all learning each other. There's a whole new system and everything else. Everybody's coming together, but there's so much greatness in store, and I can't wait for it. And everybody just believe in each other. That's what football is all about, you know, and it's about getting another win in that win column, and we were able to do that.
All right, look, in fairness to Russell Wilson, his last drive felt like a Russell Wilson drive. The game, in many ways, felt like a Russell Wilson Seattle Seahawks game, right? We're like, are they playing good? I don't know, but they ended up having the ball in his hands, a chance to win the game at the end of the game before Jimmy Garoppolo twice over, once through a pick, and then, you know, couldn't matriculate the ball down the field. But that looked like a Russell Wilson game. It's just still kind of messy, kind of ugly, kind of That game was not a great game. But there was also the Dan Orlovsky part due play from Jimmy Garoppolo. There was the final interception from Jimmy Garoppolo where he didn't even see a safety who was just sitting there in the box and threw it right to him. And it brings back what I had said last week, which is this. Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Trey Lance. Jimmy Garoppolo this year gives the Niners a better chance to compete for the Super Bowl. I'm not blind to that. And any fan who argues otherwise, ask a Niner fan and they'll go, you're wrong there. I don't know what happens with Trey Lance. I speculated last week that I'm guessing the days of him just being handed the job like he was this year, those are over. Doesn't mean he won't ever play for the Niners again, but man, he's barely played football. One season in the last 5 years. But Garoppolo's future hangs in the balance in regards to how he plays will determine what level of contract or what job he has next, or if he keeps this job. We would all kind of agree that the Niners were a mess offensively. We okay with that? We would all kind of agree that stepping out of bounds, which in my lifetime for a quarterback has only happened once before, and Dan's a champ. He took it like a champ. We've all in-game made boneheaded plays. Heck, made boneheaded plays in work. I've done it here. It happens. But if we've only seen that once before, right? That was Orlovsky. So Garoppolo pulls an Orlovsky and throws a wildly untimely pick and can't move the football. And the Broncos defense is good, but it's not what it was last year. And it brings me back to my point of last week. If we would all agree that John Lynch is pretty good at building a football team and Kyle Shanahan is really good with quarterbacks, why then would they trade up a bunch of pieces to eventually replace Jimmy Garoppolo for reasons other than salary cap? Why would you do it? If you have a guy who's a dude, you'd never get rid of him. But if you show yourself in this, and you can say, well, he's been hurt a lot. Okay. But the wins and losses are greatly in your favor when Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy. But why then? Why would you move mountains to draft Trey Lance? Why would you part company with Jimmy Garoppolo only to welcome him back in on a backup type of deal? But why would you do that if you thought he was great? You don't. And why they wanted to move on, you saw last night. Garoppolo looks great in a suit. Way better hair than me. Skin tone is amazing. Guy's just a good, he's like a model playing quarterback. And he'll be on TV someday, right? Next to all these other models that play quarterback. They're just better looking dudes. Smart, well-spoken, athletic. He just kind of looks like a dude out there, right? Then the ball is snapped, and you're like, Jimmy Garoppolo will make one or two boneheaded plays a game, and then there are times in which when that thing gets tight, Isn't that what happened last night? Last night is the perfect thing for John Lynch to go into his office today and go, I was right. Jimmy's good to a point. Right? Good to a point. It's pick your chain restaurant and you go like, man, pick the best thing at that chain restaurant. Like, man, this is really, really good. Okay, now go to like a five-star restaurant. Compare that to anything on the menu. Like, well, it just comes up short. It doesn't mean it's not tasty. It doesn't mean it's not good. It just doesn't match up with one of these restaurants with Michelin stars that are just ridiculous. So I'm not telling you the season is lost for the Niners. No, the NFC West is just as much of a mess as any other division. Maybe not as much as the AFC West. But what I am telling you is last night's the perfect example of why Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't good enough for John Lynch and the Niners. Why they tried to find a way to move on. It's like they say, we talked a lot about infidelity last week with Ime Udoka, you know, that when there's cheating within a relationship, it's not the cheating is a symptom. It's not the cause. Right? When you're going out, you're looking for another quarterback and finding another quarterback. That's not the symptom. The cause is that Jimmy Garoppolo is just not good enough. He's good. He's not good enough. He's not good enough and efficient enough that they believe to truly compete and win a Super Bowl. And they had it there. All he had to do was make a couple throws. They had Kansas City on the ropes, and he couldn't do it. And they flew back, and they watched that film, and they probably had to think, like, I mean, I really like him. He's a good enough leader, but they're just leave something to be desired. And last night was the example. He made a couple good throws, made a couple good escapes. The defense played their tails off. The Broncos were a mess. You can't give away 2 points. You're a quarterback that threw in the Super Bowl and you step out of bounds. That's giving away 2 points. And then when you need points late, you stare down your best wide receiver and don't even see the safety that's sitting in there. I mean, heck, you could see on the sky cam. He's just sitting there. He didn't look. That's Jimmy. He's not terrible. He's not definably bad, but he's good to a point. And reaching out for another quarterback and getting another quarterback, that's a symptom. The cause is what you saw last night.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live every day from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. That's important, right? Getting there is incredibly important. Unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire building should be. One big story today. We'll get to the Dolphins in about, 3 minutes. RJ Young's going to join us. He's host of Fox Sports podcast, the number one college football show. We'll talk about a wild weekend in college football, and A&M won, but lost an incredibly important player as part of their offense. We'll get to that later on in the hour. So we got the press. This is going to be fun. I do want to mention this. So the Pro Bowl is no more. Sort of. There will be no tackle football game where they didn't really tackle, but there was a game and people watched. Right? Like over 5 million people watched it. The Pro Bowl will be no more. Instead, they'll have the Pro Bowl games. Is that what they're going to do? The Pro Bowl games. I suggested today, pretty simple, you know, 2 from every district. Whoever survives, you know, wins the Pro Bowl games and lives in infamy. Pro Bowl hunger. Anyway, I will say this. I've watched the NFL my entire life, and I have never watched a live snap of the Pro Bowl. So I'm not really even sure if it's that much of a story since we all made fun of it for so long. And, like, look, not only is it not a real football game, but it's not even a real representation of the best of the best of the best since so many got, like, over 100 guys get voted to a Pro Bowl on a yearly basis because guys turn it down because they just got done playing or they didn't want to go or whatever. Somehow they ruined a really cool trip for a lot of dudes. Love going to Hawaii. Now it's like, I don't know. Where is it? I don't want to go. But congrats to those of you who hated on the Pro Bowl for years. I didn't really care. I never watched it. It is no more. And Omaha Productions, that's Peyton Manning's group, is going to get a chance to put on the Pro Bowl games. Quick note. Right? They've tried in the past to have other things, not the Pro Bowl. Like, they're going to have a flag football game. And I want to warn people that there was a time in which they tried to have a football game on the beach in Hawaii. This was in I believe it was 1999. The New England Patriots had a rookie running back named Robert Edwards. Right? And he tore his knee so badly in the sand football game that he almost had to have his leg amputated. He was told he might not ever walk again. So obviously he didn't have his leg amputated, and he did come back and play some football, a little bit for the Dolphins, a lot in Canada, but he was never, ever the same after being drafted by the Patriots in the first round. He had one incredible season where he had 1,200 yards rushing. This is before the Pats were the Pats. And it was Pro Bowl week of the 98 season in 1999. They played a flag football game in Hawaii in the sand, and he badly blew out his knee. Again, I'm not wishing injury on anybody, but this whole idea that we can't play tackle football because guys get hurt, reasonable. Playing flag football does not mean you won't have an injury. Just pointing that one out. And those of us who are old enough to remember, like, oh, I remember that. What was that guy's name? Oh, that was Ned. Because that was one of those first injuries that were on TV that you saw in real time, like, ooh, yeah, that's bad. That's bad. Speaking of the 90s, before the Patriots became the Patriots, it used to be a division owned by the Bills. Previous to that, it was owned by the Dolphins. Do you guys remember how many great Dolphins-Jets games there were? Like, great Dolphins-Jets games. It's been a while since the Dolphins have been relevant, let alone 3-0. Now, Mike McDaniel, who, of course, was part of the offensive brain trust in San Francisco, is in his first year as head coach. They've added Tyreek Hill. They've added other pieces. Jaylen Waddle is a tremendous, tremendous young talent. And they're off to a 3-0 start. Here's Mike McDaniel on the confidence this team has.
You know, I'm just really, really happy for the team because this much I do know. Teams win football games. And if you're going to have success over the long haul, you have to have confidence that, you know, whoever, whatever phase can win a football game for you can go ahead and do that.
So, we can take shots at the Dolphins' schedule traditionally, but they beat the Patriots, who went to the playoffs last year. They beat the Bills just yesterday, who are the odds-on favorite to reach and win the Super Bowl. They beat the Ravens. Granted, the Ravens led the whole game until the very end, but they beat the Ravens in Baltimore. So the question becomes, is, look, they got the Bengals on the road on Thursday night, short turnaround. Then they got the Jets. After the kind of the mini bye, Vikings at home, Steelers at home, they go to the Lions, to the Bears. Like, they got a pretty decent schedule. Are we buying them? And for people who are wondering about Tua and the concussion protocol and that other stuff, it's like, look, I saw how it looked. It looked weird to me. And when I saw him go down, but then when I heard the explanation and I saw him talking with Josh Allen. That was a weird kind of embrace after the game where Josh Allen almost laid his head on his shoulder. Right? We're like, I mean, are they that close? What did Tua say to him? There was a lot going on there that I have questions about. But the one thing I didn't think was, well, Tua's concussed. So I'm gonna trust the doctors because somehow we're all suddenly really, really cautious of a player that we don't know. And whether or not he's coming back with a head dinger or not, I don't know. But he played well when he came back. He didn't look concussed. I don't know enough about it. I'm guessing they wouldn't have said it. I'm hoping and guessing. And I'm honestly, like, this is one of my things. If a doctor sends a guy back out there and he's concussed, he runs the risk of losing his job, his license, especially now we're all paying attention to it. So I'm actually going to side with the Dolphins in this one. But are we siding with the Dolphins in terms of their long-term viability? Are they really that team? Are they really as good as their record? Back end of their schedule is a monster. This is their December. at the Niners. And I know you're sitting there going like, Niners, did you go all the way across the country, play San Francisco late in the year? Have fun. At the Chargers, look like a disaster now. Aren't going to have Rashawn Slater the rest of the season. But again, you could see the Chargers figuring it out, winning some games. Okay? At Buffalo, take on the Bills. Whew. Green Bay at home at the Patriots. That's in a row. Bang, 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 bang. So there's some L's coming on that schedule, but there's some dubs as well. Here's what I'm a buyer of. I'm a buyer of them being much better. I'm a buyer of them being living up to some of the preseason hype of last year. I'm a buyer in to the speed that they have. That dog will hunt. And as much as we talk about bad weather, the truth is that when it's in bad weather, if Tua can get it to those guys, bad weather is generally beneficial for offensive guys because they know where they're going and the defensive guys do not. And they have some of that later on in the season, like when they, you know, like when they go to Buffalo, when they go to New England, probably bad weather. But if there's snow or wet stuff on the ground, that actually favors the offense and the speed that they have because they know where they're going. The defense does not. I don't know if Tua can throw it in that bad weather. That's a legit question about it. But yeah, I'm a buyer. I mean, let's be honest. It took blown coverage and a couple things that go bump in the night, and also the defensive step up to get a win over the Ravens. The Bills, they had nobody in their secondary, all kinds of injuries, some season ending, some just temporary. And the Bills should have had an opportunity to kick a last second field goal, potentially win that game. And it was in the heat or whatever. But the Dolphins won the game. So were there style points the last 2 weeks? No. No. But the defense, there's some carryover from the previous regime that's pretty good. The offense has a ton of speed, and Tua's getting rid of the ball. And as of now, things are good. Do I think they're going to win 17 games? No. Do I think they're going to win the division? No. Do I think they're a playoff team? Yes. And I'm just interested to see, as people get tape on Tua with this speed, what they feel like they can take away and what they feel like they can make him do more of. I think it's a balanced take on him. Everybody wants to say like, oh, I'm all in, or I think they stink. I'm impressed. Do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? I do not. Do I think they get to the playoffs? I do. Not just because they're 3-0, but because they're pretty good and factor in that their schedule, especially over the next month and a half, not crazy difficult. Here's Mike McDaniel on their 3-0 start.
You know, I'm just really, really happy for the team because this much I do know. Teams win football games. And if you're going to have success over the long haul, you have to have confidence that, you know, whoever, whatever phase can win a football game for you can go ahead and do that.
It's a fair and balanced take, Jace. I know we're supposed to be this, you're supposed to be hot takers. Dolphins stink. They've been lucky, or the Dolphins are awesome. I'm all in. Do I think they're better than the Bills? They play them 10 times. I think they win twice, maybe three times. Right? But I think they're better than the Patriots. And I know they're better than the Jets. And I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think Tua looks improved. And I think they got some dudes around him. Look, I killed everybody in the studio. Is that what happened?
Oh, I didn't know that was directed towards me. So I understand any trepidation that anybody who does what you do for a living has about proclaiming any absolute about any NFL team. Because last week, everybody was doing that to the Bills, right? Mm-hmm. A week ago or after the Monday night game, whenever it was. And then we found out maybe the Bills have some flaws too. So I think the one consistency among the NFL through 3 weeks is that nobody knows what they're talking about. Except for John Ramos. I mean, he predicted that Dolphins win yesterday.
No, so. I mean, it's still the quarter poll is the end of the preseason. Buyer, you watch every game. You have your Sunday show as well as your I Want Your Flex podcast. How big a buyer are you into the Dolphins?
I think they're legit. I do. I think that you talked about the back end of their schedule. Well, look at the front end, what they just went to. I know maybe New England's not what they were, but they you know, did rally and they got a win against the Ravens.
Yep.
Which I think at the start of the year, we probably would have marked a loss. We actually may have marked week one a loss. Who knows? You got this Bills game with the way that they were playing. And, yeah, I mean, there's – if you told me 4 weeks ago that the Dolphins are going to start out 1-2 and handed me their schedule, I would say, okay, yeah, yep. Yeah, that's probably the case. They're 3-0. So, in that – I mean, they've beaten who they've beaten on their schedule is a very fact of the matter sort of thing. But I think the value of those brands that they have beaten,
yep.
Now you're first place in the division. And as Jason said, like, what do you really know about the NFL? I thought there were four good teams in the AFC entering week three, and one of those was the Chargers. And now you look at where they are in just a matter of 6 or 7 days, and another team I had were the Chiefs, and they – lose to Indianapolis. So, yeah, I'm definitely not going to take away anything from a team that won a game that they weren't supposed to, that didn't have the ball for two-thirds of the game and were outgained, you know, like they were, and they still won the game. A lot of teams would rather have, you know, would want that win. So I can't take anything away from the Dolphins.
Correct. Yep. Correct. I mean, we can take a little bit away, right? Like you said, they were down big against the Ravens, and they had some communication issues or whatever. We can take a little bit away from Buffalo, as you said, kind of dominated in terms of how much they possess the football. That's reasonable to take a little bit away. But the other point you made is, like, look, the Bills are going to be in the playoffs, the Ravens are going to be in the playoffs, and you just beat two playoff teams. Right? You just beat two playoff teams. However it took place, you actually won that game. And at end of the day, they don't give you championships, or they don't give you more money based upon, well, you almost did something. They did something. They accomplished it. So, yeah, I mean, am I a buyer in them being a playoff team? Yes. Am I a buyer of them competing for a Super Bowl? No.
Well, I'll also say that they're in this group of first-year head coaches and how teams adapt. And I think it's one of the things with the Broncos. Perfect example is we don't talk as much about the problems that maybe you have with a first-year head coach, veteran quarterback coming in. I know Tua is not a veteran, but they've been able to navigate those pitfalls that have hit other teams across the NFL. I think it's, 3-0 is 3-0.
I think that there's, like, you go through up and down the schedule yesterday watching the games, and I don't know if you agree with me, Dan, but not only is the NFL seemingly less predictable than ever, but the quality of play, and I know Middlecoff kind of hit on this last hour, but the quality of play, it's not as easy a watch as it has been the last 10 years. Have you felt that way as well?
It's not as clean, but I don't think that the NFL cares, because I think the NFL only cares about parity, and that's what we have. And outside of what the Eagles were doing to the Commanders, and – I mean, Cincinnati beat the Jets, but the Jets also turned the football over four times in that game. So maybe it's not as big of a blowout as you would think. All of those games were competitive games, and I think that's what the NFL wants. It's crazy to think that right now, if the Cowboys beat the Giants tonight, there are just two remaining unbeatens in the National Football League. That would be the Dolphins and the Eagles. Giants trying to go 0-3 against the Cowboys.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Live from the Tyrac.com studios. You know, I was watching the Packers and Buccaneers play last night. And it struck me, I knew what was coming from Cowherd, which is like, yeah, look at all the guys that Tampa doesn't have. And keep in mind, Green Bay not fully healthy. They're just, David Bakhtiari will play next week, did not play. He's their star left tackle, highest paid offensive lineman. But I found it fascinating. Something I've tried to tell you is, look, it's hard enough to switch coaches. Right? When you switch coaches, everybody has a different style, 4-3 to 3-4, et cetera, et cetera. You know, everybody's got their favorites, their favorite style, their favorite players. And so year one, you get carryover in terms of whatever discipline level. If you have a super disciplined coach and you have a fun guy come in, you still have some of that discipline in their culture, and yet you have new energy because the new guy's a lot more fun, right? If you have a fun guy and then you replace him with a disciplinarian, sometimes that first year can be sticky, but oftentimes it plays out better in the long run. The same is true in terms of styles. You bring in new styles. Now, it's even harder to change styles without changing cultures, without changing coaches. And Nathaniel Hackett obviously went to the Broncos, but the plan that I told you was in place for the Packers, it's painfully obvious, is they're trying to be more of a ground and pound ball control team. They're trying to shorten the game, get a lead, and let their defense win it for them. It wasn't a thing of beauty. Part of it is Tampa is good, especially their defense. Their head coach, defensive guy, and an experienced guy, does a good job. The offense, obviously they're missing wide receivers. But what was the story of that game? Right. Yeah, they only averaged 2.7 yards a carry. Wasn't great. They ran the ball 25 times. 27 passes, 25 runs. It's called balance. Tampa, 31 passes, 14 runs. And really only one guy carried the ball. That's Leonard Fournette. So, look, Green Bay didn't score in the second half. I don't know why Aaron Rodgers stepped into a sack on the last possession when they're up 8. And if he just keeps moving the ball, he just throws the ball to a crosser. Like, they win the game and Brady doesn't get the ball back. Now, he made it up to his teammates because he saw the 2-point conversion play. Did you guys hear that interview afterwards? Where he's like, sometimes they show things on the Jumbotron they're not supposed to, right? He went up and said something to Matt LaFleur, like, this is what's coming. And they played it great. And Tampa got away with a touchdown pass after the play clock had expired and didn't on the 2-point conversion. But what I see from the Packers, it's not a virtuoso, right? Romeo Doubs, though, he got 8 balls. That's the guy they're most excited about. Kid, the rookie out of Nevada. Right? Robert Tonyan is tight end, 6 catches. He hit Tyler Davis on a couple deep shots. He hit Randall Cobb on a deep shot. Alan Lazard is back. He was decent. Caught him. I think he got like a 25, 26 yarder. Like, sprayed the ball around to a bunch of wide receivers. They want to be an ensemble cast as the young guys come of age. And then they want to run the football. Not because it helps you beat Tampa or look good against Tampa in September, but because they think, and last year's the example, they think that if they get to January, if they get past the 17-game regular season, they're going to win their division. They're going to compete for home field throughout. And if you play at home in Green Bay, you better be able to control the clock, run the football, and just be physical. And then let your defense have at it. What I saw from Green Bay was what I thought or think ultimately their plan is going to be. It's not as pretty as putting half a 100 on a team. It might not be as fun. It might not even play as well to Aaron Rodgers' skill set. And he's still kind of figuring out, how do I do what I want to do within the confines of an offense which may not help me win another MVP, but could help me win another Super Bowl. That's what I saw from that game. It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. John Middlecoff's our guest. 3Now is the podcast. He's an NFL analyst, the host of that 3Now podcast. And we were talking last night. We got a lot of things to get to. I started today, John, saying, look, if Jimmy G disappointed last night stepping out of the end zone and throwing that last pick when he didn't even see the safety sitting in the box, I got news for you. That's why the Niners were willing to move on from him. Am I wrong?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a flawed player. Everyone's known that. I mean, it's why he is, you know, in the middle of the pack of NFL quarterbacks. He can be a starter when the team's really good, but as you saw last night against, I mean, I think Denver's pretty darn good on defense. He really struggled. Now, I'm not trying to defend the guy, but he did not do anything all offseason. He did not practice with the team. He came in last, he kind of became the backup. He just started practicing 2.5 weeks ago. It is a unique situation. He mentioned that after the game. Now, I do understand people, and I would also kind of be, I kind of straddle the fence on this one. He's played with all these guys before, right? George, Ayuk, Debo. But once Trent Williams got in, I mean, Doug, I know the butt punt was made fun of yesterday, but the most disastrous play of the day was a safety that led to one of the best players in the NFL getting injured, that if it wasn't a safety, it would have been a pick six. I mean, that's in the Jimmy Garoppolo hierarchy of bad plays, that one's right up there. And I know he didn't, like, nothing he did led to Trent Williams getting injured, right? The guy got kind of thrown into the back of his ankle, and he's got a ankle sprain now. But that was just a disaster. And the 49ers, like, we can crush Jimmy G, but, like, I've been a little hesitant to just kill Hackett. But last night, Kyle Shanahan, he's a $12, $15 million coach. He's known, and I say this all the time, one of the best offensive coaches. He's got to have some curveballs. I don't know, a trick play, something. And it was pretty generic. I get his offensive line was in shambles, but in a game like that, you got to have something in your back pocket. And I got to put blame on Kyle Shanahan as well as Jimmy Garoppolo.
What do we do with the Chargers? And the Chargers, like, look, we want to point out injuries. It's fair. Slater's now out for the year. So the right tackle was already an issue. Now left tackle's an issue. Bosa got hurt in the game. didn't have Keenan Allen, didn't have J.C. Jackson, right? So they didn't have a lot, but it's the Jaguars, and they got run off the field. What's going on there?
You know, I've never saw it with Brandon Staley. I don't buy into kind of his fluffy press conference deals. Last year, down the stretch, losing that game to the Texans, and then, listen, you're allowed a terrible loss. It happens to every good team. But losing that game to the Raiders, I could never look at them the same. And you and I have talked. I mean, last week's game against the Chiefs, you got to win that game. I mean, you cannot lose. And then yesterday, like, let's face it. You know, Doug Peterson, the ending with Philly was ugly. But never forget, like, he won a playoff game the year after he won Super Bowl. Like, Doug Peterson's a big-time coach, a lifetime NFL guy. Brandon Staley's only been around the NFL since, like, 2016. I mean, we talk about a meteoric rise. The guy was coaching lower-level college football. Now, you and I have been around. Just because you coach a lower-level college football or the NFL doesn't mean you're a bad or good coach, but clearly, for a team that has a ton of talent, and even yesterday, Slater's, a borderline star. That's a hard loss, right? Bosa's stud. But if you're playing the Jags, you are not playing the Broncos or the Chiefs. You still have better players. And it's one thing, right? Okay, let's say they lost a tight game. You'd be like, you know, tough deal. 38-10? That wasn't a loss. That was a beatdown. And Doug Peterson ran circles around him. And I don't know. I mean, I've never been a believer in this. And I think, you know, McCarthy kind of set the tone, quote-unquote hot seat and stuff. But you talk about a coach that I think you have to wonder, Sean Payton, if he's sniffing around. Everyone goes Jerry Jones in Dallas. I'd much rather coach Justin Herbert. I know that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. John Middlecoff joining us. Three and Out is the podcast. What about the Raiders? I didn't think they would be as good as they were last year, even if they added some personnel, but I didn't think they'd be 0-3. You lose to a Tennessee team that had looked very, very beatable, and you know, you go out and get a high-priced defensive end, and he's been a complete no-show. What's going on in Vegas? Bless you.
Yeah, I mean, the last two games, right, they've lost as favorites. They were big favorites against the Cardinals to blow that game. This week, even on the road against the Titans, who, let's face it, I mean, Josh McDaniels right now, we got to have a major red flag. I think I got to double check this, but I think I heard a number today. He's 5-20 as a head coach. We know he's good with Belichick and Tom Brady. They can win Super Bowls. You get him away, it's been an utter failure. I mean, he did inherit a lot of good players, and he traded for a star wide receiver who's a high character superstar, and it's just not going well. To lose to the Titans, and let's face it, the final score looks close. They were up several scores for a period in the second half. You know, I mean, the Raiders were down pretty big. So it's not going smoothly at all. And then, like, obviously, I'm not saying Mark Davis is the Rooneys or John Mara, but he did make a bold choice when he didn't go with the interim coach, Rich Bisaccia. He goes with Josh McDaniels, and everyone understood it, but this is a disaster in their meeting. I mean, Doug, think about this. The Denver Broncos, we all thought, and rightfully so, the AFC West was stacked, because on paper it was. The Chargers are in shambles. The Broncos have been hanging on for dear life. Their head coach had to hire a guy out of retirement to run his clock. And the Raiders, their head coach, by week three, is meeting with the owner before his press conference after games. I would say the AFC West is kind of in shambles, given the expectations. And the Raiders right now, I mean, now they're playing the Broncos, which the Broncos got some issues, but with that defense – the Raiders, I mean, all of a sudden you could look up, are we sure they're not a 5-6 win team? Not because they're not a talent, but just because Josh McDaniels, when I say doesn't know what he's doing, obviously he knows football and he knows players, but being a head coach is so much different than a coordinator. It's a tried and true formula. Just because you're a star coordinator does not equal success as a head coach. And this is, I mean, you could argue they're the biggest disaster in the league when you just look at the final results of 0-3.
Are you a buyer into the Miami Dolphins?
I will, you know, I was not to start the season, not because I wasn't rooting for the head coach. I didn't believe in Tua. He's probably a little better than I thought, and their talent is pretty big guy. I mean, those two wide receivers are pretty special. Their defense is pretty good. They're pretty physically tough, and, you know, Flores and that kind of administration over the last couple of years, they've been good on defense, right? And they kept the defensive coordinator. McDaniel is just, I mean, he's been one of Kyle Shanahan's right-hand guys for a decade, so he knows how to scheme up offense and get guys open, and he knows how to utilize very talented offensive weapons. So I'm not saying they're going to go 14-3 here, but I think it's hard to say. Like, I'm going to give them even a pass this week, a short week, whatever, if they were to lose. But you go 3-1 the first, you know, four games of the season, I think it's fair to say, I mean, they're a double-digit win team just based on talent alone.
Cowherd went on today, and I know he owns the volume, and your pod runs on the volume, but he's okay with disagreement. He's like, I don't see it from Green Bay, right? He doesn't like it. You know, look at all the guys that Tampa was missing. I saw 27 passes, 25 runs, and you and I have talked about this. They want to be able to win in January, okay, especially in Green Bay, and that transformation from how they've always played, like just give Aaron the ball and everybody, you know, spread out wide and he'll figure it out, to running the football and then, you know, off play action making plays. And he wasn't great yesterday. I see the transformation in progress and their ability to win that game as a good sign. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, me and Colin are going to have pretty major disagreements on Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And I think the Packers had to get more physical. They have to be tougher because that hasn't translated in the playoffs. And Russell Wilson, because one of his comps, too, was remember that first year with Rodgers, you transitioned to the offense. Rodgers definitely looked off, but his arm strength and mobility didn't look off. His accuracy was just a little hit or miss. Russell's accuracy is a little hit or miss, and he's really slow. Where you watch the Packers, you know, you and I talked last night. He made a couple passes that I just kind of going through the highlights that were just like, oh, my God. I mean, his talent is still elite. I mean, him and Mahomes and Josh Allen, like they are just – I mean, they're three of the most talented players in the history of the league. And Rodgers, even later in life, right, at 37, 38, whatever he is still, to me, in the peak of his powers physically. So I like the Packers' ability because ultimately them and Tampa, that's what a game's going to look like. That's what the game looked like last year against the 49ers. And their difference was they weren't quite as tough. They weren't quite as physical. And over the years, they've lost to Harbaugh. They lost to the Seattle team because they just lacked a little bit of that. I call them war daddies, you know, the Kittles, the Debos. They need some guys like that. And it feels like some of the guys they've drafted, some of their younger players that are kind of coming into their own, obviously their running backs. Yeah, I mean, as long as you got Aaron Rodgers and a physical team, I'm definitely a believer. And Russell Wilson, I don't know where you stand, but there are dramatic signs of going the other way. And I know he pulled off that one drive, but he was – and I've watched his entire career very closely living on the West Coast, but he was so special athletically. And you don't need to be, you know, some guy that goes to the NFL Combine every year to see he's not remotely the same movement-wise.
Okay, help me out here. Why is scoring so down in the league?
That's a good question. You know, I remember talking to someone at 49er training camp, and he was like telling me, he's like, you know what's crazy? And this guy's been in the league for 20 years. When he first got to training camps back in the 2000s, he's like, this thing was a war zone. Double days for three straight weeks. Then you had preseason games where guys played. And he's like, you know what? Looking back, I feel like we didn't even have remotely the same injuries. It wasn't guys were – it's kind of like a fight, right? When you get ready for a fight, UFC or boxing, you spar. And now, I mean, I've been going to training camp, whether working in the league or talking about the league, for about 12, 13 years now. And worked in college football for a couple of years before that when rules – I mean, Pat Hill, we used to double days for the same thing, 3.5 weeks. And you go now – I'm not saying – listen, I've never played in the NFL. I understand practice is hard. But relative to, like, getting ready for these games, it's not even the same. So, to me, timing of offenses are way off because you don't practice, really. Everything's walkthrough. Everything is half speed. Now, the quarterback has never been hit in practice, but you still practice from a physical level. Even if you don't – like, to me, you don't even in practice have to, like, necessarily tackle to the ground. But if you just look around the league, these teams don't even wear pads really in practice. In training camp, beside 3 or 4 practices – that was a huge knock on Denver. It was like, you know, they don't really – it was kind of a country club. And, listen, Kyle Shanahan has a physical team, but their practices were, you know, I mean, this isn't exactly – and I'm not calling for the Junction Boys here, but the only way to get ready – like in basketball, these guys play 5-on-5 like in the offseason, full go. Now, it might not be as intense as like an NBA game, but you're still getting a full-on run. In football, it's very hard to go like half in with football. Right? If you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt and you're doing OTA type stuff, that really isn't remotely close to what we see on Sunday. So I think, and I understand why the league did it. They were taking a bunch of heat. They were getting sued. They tried and they've done a good job being much safer. But I do think the product is just, it takes a little while to get everyone on the same page. And the defensive guys right now are flying around. I actually just think there's a lot of good that's team speed on defense. Like, yeah. Clearly a lot of wide receivers have come in the league the last several years, but think of all the defensive linemen and linebackers that all can really run, and you just flip around the channels. You got guys flying around now.
I think there's a couple of things there. Again, these are more hypotheses than theories, right? John Middlecoff, 3 Nouns podcast, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, live from the TireRack.com studios. Like, just hypotheses. I agree with everything you said, and then everybody seems to be playing, for the most part, like two high safeties way back, way off the line. But they're allowing not only some of that short underneath stuff, but defenses are allowed to be a lot more physical. You know, cornerbacks, the grabbing and the holding, not just outside of 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, they're allowing a lot more of the defense being physical, I feel like. That also changes things.
Yeah, I mean, it got a little ridiculous like 3 or 4 years ago, I thought, because the defensive holding, the defensive pass interferences, and it was like, what's a DB supposed to do? And now, maybe you're right. I mean, it does feel a little bit like they call the defensive holding a little less and let them be a little handsy, which is only fair. I mean, the offensive guy, just in general, has an advantage because he knows what he's doing. A defensive guy, I mean, has a play call, but ultimately he's reacting to the offensive guy's route, right, in the quarterback. He does not know what's coming. He maybe has an educated guess. So he's already at a disadvantage to start. And then what really kind of separated, right, probably 4 or 5 years ago is once they took the, I don't even want to say head hunting, but just guys getting crushed over the middle, it was like, this isn't even fair. And it does feel like the game has gotten a little more physical, which as a fan of that, and it's definitely gotten safer, but I also think we're seeing all these injuries because guys just don't practice. So how can you go from basically 0 to 60? Because that's what an NFL game becomes, right? It's just full go. And then you see guys kind of dropping like flies. And I do wonder if that's a direct result of just these new CBAs where no one really practices anymore.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The Giants could be 3-0 tonight, or the Cowboys, as average as they look, could be 2-1 tonight. It feels like those records aren't real, but the Eagles feels real. Help me out with who's got a good record you believe in, who's got one you don't believe in.
Yeah, I'd say the Eagles are legitimately stacked. I mean, if their quarterback's going to be good, I mean, they are going to be good. I mean, let's face it, he was kind of up and down last year, and they won 9 games. Yep. Well, then they've improved this year. They added yesterday, I look up at halftime, Devontae Smith, who last year was kind of banged up and was like slow to come on, had 7 and 150 at halftime. I mean, that guy won the Heisman as a wide receiver, and it was everyone that watched it was like, yeah, that guy deserves a Heisman. So he's a stud on top of A.J. Brown. I mean, so they got two wide receivers. Their quarterback can run. Their running back, Miles Sanders, is good. They got other running backs. Their offensive and defensive lines are awesome. Darius Slay makes plays. I mean, they got dudes. So if their quarterback is going to be, and through the first 3 weeks, I mean, he's been a top 10-ish quarterback. Like, they are going to be a powerhouse. And to me, the Cowboys, I mean, if their defense is good, like one thing you saw with Denver and San Francisco, if your defense is good, you're just going to be in games, right? Green Bay, Tampa Bay. So even if your offense can just make a play or two, I was impressed with Cooper Rush last week. And he started the last 2 games and won them both for the Cowboys, right? He won the game last year and he won the game last week. So I don't really see it with the Giants. I know they've, you know, you're 2-0, but I don't know. I mean, I think their quarterback is below average. I don't love their talent on their team, but clearly Daboll feels like, you know, Daboll feels like everything Josh McDaniels is supposed to be, just like buttoned up, has his stuff together, just kind of runs a tight-knit operation. And think about this, Doug. What happened to Daboll? He left Belichick, right? He worked for Belichick twice, worked with Saban, but where did he kind of become Brian Daboll? With Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. He kind of got to do his own thing. The only success Josh McDaniels has ever had is under the umbrella of Bill. And I would kind of buy some stock in Brian Daboll big picture. Though, if you tell me when the dust settles the Giants are a 5-win team, I think that's more believable that they're like in the wild card mix in December.
John Middlecoff, 3 Nouns podcast, download it. John, great stuff. Thanks for joining us.
See you, Doug.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.